Okay, so we're on Daf Vav tonight. Okay, let's all focus. So we're on six lines down on Vav Amud Aleph. So it says, it's Amar Rabbi Yehuda, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the seventh line, last really words on line are Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzah Evet. Now we said that on Chol Hamoed, they go out to be Mitzayin the Kvaro, to mark off the graves. And it's important, we learned this, the sources for marking off the graves in yesterday's Daf. But the idea is we want people to know where there's a grave. So if they're carrying truma, they can steal from it and they won't be metame the truma. So the way they would mark off the graves is by pouring lime. They would have lime. It would be the lime is white. And then people would see the white marking. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Matzah Evan Mitzviyena Tachta Atame. So if a person comes across an Evan in a marked off stone, in other words, the stone has got lime on it, then the presumption is that underneath the stone, there's tuma. Now we said yesterday that we mark it off before you get to the tuma. So the way that and the Rashi here is not really the Rashi, but the Rashi here says that it means if it's flat on the ground, I'll do it a little bit of distance. But the stone, a big boulder, it's got an outcropping. Since everybody mute themselves, I hear people, please mute. Okay. So the big boulder, you know, you see it from a distance, so it's got the white on it. So that's like the warning sign, like hazard, you know, like tuma ahead. So, but to Evan Mitzina Tata Tame Shtayim, let's say he finds two stones, each with lime on it, in close proximity to one another. If there's Sid is the lime. The lime is not only on the stones, but between the stones, then the presumption is that whole area is Tame, even underneath the area between the stones. But if there's no lime in the area between the stones, then the presumption is that the area between them is tahor. That's the end of the statement from Rabbi Yehuda. So now so if there's lime on the stones, that's it, tame. If there's lime between the stones, and even the area between the stones is tame. So the Gemara says, if like a choresh, you mean that I'll assume that between them is tahor. If there's no lime, even though there's no evidence of anybody plowing in that area. But Hatani, we'll see in a minute what the Gemara Brice is going to say. But Hatani, we learned the Brice, if he finds one stone which is marked off, so he says, Tachta Atame, underneath the stone is Tame. So far, so good. Shtayim, if there are two stones, if there's evidence of plowing between them, Benehen Tahor, Bimla Benehen Tame. So from this Brice, we think right now in the Havamina that what it means is, that if a person, either one of two things, if a person is choresh, then even if there was a body there, it got all ground up and then it's not there anymore because of as a result of charisha, and then any small bones will be able to blow away like we had discussed in yesterday's daf. Or the presumption is that if a person is choresh there, he's familiar with the area and there is no body there. But that's what we're thinking right now in the Havamina, okay? So the point being, though, that from the Brice, it sounds like I need evidence of plowing between the stones in order for it to be considered to be Tahor. But from Rav Yehuda's statement, if there's no lime there, I'm in the clear. So Amara Papa, Hacha, Shasid, Shafucha Roshayin, Umaruda Lakan Lakan. The Brice is talking about a case where there's like an ample supply of lime that's been poured on the two stones, boulders, and Umaruda Lakan Lakan. And it's like a thin layer of sid between the stones. So he says, so the pshat is different. It's not what I said before, that if there's harisha, assume like he plowed up the body, or that if there's harisha, he knows that there's no body there. If there's evidence of plowing between the stones, it's considered to be tahor. The amor machman choreshu to iklaf is the way that the Bach has it. In other words, I can assume then that the reason it got like a little bit of lime in between the stones is a result of, in other words, there's a blob of lime on the stones, and the guy's been plowing, and some of it rubbed off and got on the ground. That's what I assume it is. In other words, he sees like a little lime, a little bit of lime between the stones. That's what he could attribute it to. But if not, if there's no evidence of plowing, then if there's no evidence of plowing and there's lime there, then that's a siman that it's tame. Okay, so that's the pshat, and that's the end of the pshat with that. Okay, everybody good so far? Any questions, comments, or thoughts? There's other, the Tosfos has a different Malach, but this is the way I'm going to go with this, okay? What? So again, it would matter. I mean, according to some poskim, we're talking about Tumas Ohel here. So there's a question whether a non-Jew's body gives Tumas Ohel or not. So some poskim would say yes, some say no. I think it's Machloket Tanaim. But we could say it's talking about a Jewish body. Let's make it easier. When we're talking about Jewish bodies, what's up? I assume it's flat. What do you want to? Yeah. Well, again, so I assume he means like this: that like if it's flat and there's nothing else there, I wouldn't mark it right where it is. But if there's the boulder here, boulder there, then it's part of like the whole scheme, then I would think it might be different. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Let me just finish another 10 lines, then we'll pause again. So at the two dots. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Yassi, Meitzar Echad Mitzuyan. Now we're talking about a field, and the field is, let's say, got four sides to it, which is typical. And Mizman Chazal, the ends of the field were demarcated by having like a little mound at the end of the field, a little hump at the end of the field, or depression at the end of the field. So Amravasi Meitzar Echad Mitzuyan, if there's one boundary which is marked off, Hu Tameh V'chol Tzedek Kula Torah. One boundary, I'll assume that boundary is where the tumah is, the rest of everything is tahor. That's all I assume. He says, Shanayim, if two of the boundaries are marked off, Hain Tameh V'chol Tzedek Kula Torah. Then the two boundaries are Tameh, and the rest of the side is Torah. So Shah, we're on a roll. Three boundaries are marked off, Hain Tameh V'chol Tzedek Kula Torah. But if there are four boundaries that are marked off, pain to horim, then the presumption is that that's your point, that the boundaries, where the boundary is actually tahor, the interior areas where the tumah is, it means that the whole area is tumah or safek tumah, and it was marked off by those boundaries, but right underneath the boundaries, we can assume is tahor. The amar mar, imar chikin simla kom tumah, we had the statement before that when we don't distance the boundary too much from the tumah, because we don't want to just, you know, create like a lot of use up land in Eretz Israel. It doesn't have to be that way. In other words, the area that'll be like, you know, demarcated as tame, if it doesn't have to be demarcated as tame, because it's not. So we try to make the marker not too far away from where the tumah is, but the marker will not be exactly where the tumah is. It'll be interior to it. Okay, who's a question, comments, tell us anything I did so far? So that would you, what we spoke about in yesterday's Gemara, whether it was Kazayas Ben Amate, then it was contracting, but otherwise it would before it would be forever. Yeah. All right. Now the only thing is the lime doesn't last forever. That's why they would go out and mark it off, I guess, each year or whatever. So let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, now the Yotzin Apel Klein, we learned in the Mishnah that on Chol HaMoed, it means the Chol HaMoed Pesach, because that's when the crops grow. So they would have inspectors or shlichim from Bezdin that would go out and inspect the fields and to remove kilayim. Is like we have different seeds that are planted that are mixed together. It shouldn't be like you have wheat and barley and maybe a bean and they're growing together. We got to say pull out the extraneous ones. So the Gemara says, "V'akilayim b'chol shemoed nafkinim." You mean on Chol HaMoed they go out for kilayim? It means kilei zrayim, the mixture of seed. He says, Raminu, we pose a contradiction from the following Mishnah. In this Mishnah we had in Daf Yomi, he says, the first Mishnah, Masechet Shkalim, says that on the first of Adar, the Bezdin announces to everybody has to bring their Machzor Shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. We announce that you have to check your fields to make sure there's no Kilei Zrayim. But Chamishasar Bo, on the 15th of Adar, this is still the Mishnah, Karina Megillah B'Krachim, we read the Megillah in the walled cities, like in Yerushalayim. We go to like clear the drachim, remove thorns from the public thoroughfares. Utakin rechovot, and you want to fix the rechovot. We spoke about yesterday. Rechovot might be the streets in front of stores, or the rechovot might be the area behind the homes. Lamod hamikvaot. We want to go measure the mikvahs to make sure that they still have arbim sa'ah. Bosin kol tzarchi rabim. We do all the needs of the public. Umitzainin hakparot. Welcome. Okay, no, okay, let's put one over. We'll put on Nas. Okay, let's do it. No, it's okay. Okay, now let's see. Where am I? We mark off the graves. Yotzin ala kalayim. We go out for the kalayim. Anyway, so the point of this Mishnah is, the point of the Mishnah is that on Adar, on the 15th of Adar, we go off to mark off the graves. And yet our Mishnah that we learned on Daf Beis says that, or the Mishnah on Daf Beis says that they would go on a Chol HaMoed Pesach. So that's a distance of one, at least more than a month. So from the 15th of Adar to Chol HaMoed Pesach. So it's more than 4 weeks. So how do we reconcile those two Mishnayot? So we're around 12 lines from the bottom on Bab Mid Aleph. You have it 6a. The first word is Reb Lazar. Okay, Reb Lazar, Reb Yossi Bar Chanina. So Reb Lazar and Reb Yossi Bar Chanina each have an answer to our question. Chanamar, Chan Bavachir, Chan Ba'apio. So again, now one question you can ask is, what we have a bigger question though. Like here, that Mishnah says they go out to clear the drachim, they go out to measure to measure the mikvaot, and they go out and our Mishnah mentions those things as well. And the Gemara didn't ask about those things. And there's more repetition than just marking off the graves, a lot of other things as well. So if you look, and again, the Rashi here in this Masechta doesn't appear really to be Rashi, but if you look in the, what we have is Rashi. So if you look, it's around 10 lines above where it gets wide. The first, the last word in line is behind. Well, we'll do the whole thing. Mikvot Amayim. You see the Rashi goes, Mikvot Amayim, around 15 lines above where it gets wide in the Gemara. In the Rashi, what? So they said in the art school, they thought it looks more like Rabbeinu Gershom because there's stiras between this Rashi and other things, and it doesn't match up with the way Tosfos quotes Rashi. And there's another manuscript of Rashi they have, which they think is the real Rashi. So let's take a look. Mikvot Amayim, Mikvot Amayim shall arba imsash chotzin otan min azevel. And it was, we're going to clear out, well, the dirt, the debris, shnichtas atokhan, kuyimot gshamim. V'haydol parachdami b'gemara ashar manitin. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't ask about the other points in the Mishnah, the Tani Mataknina Drachim Archovot Bachol Shamoi, our Mishnah says that we're going to fix the streets, the pathways, and the Rechovot, Bachol Moe, Bakatanam Kamishasa Ba'adar, and then we learn 15th of Adar, Shimla Pirchuhu. That's not a question. Dividinhu, the Mataknin Lahu Trezimne, it makes sense to prepare it twice. The Chimitakin Bachamishasa Ba'adar, when you fix the path again, they didn't have like asphalt and concrete that we have today, or at least I assume that Israel didn't use it. I mean, I think the Romans, I don't know if the Romans had concrete, but the Romans have concrete. I think the Romans may have had concrete, right? Romans, they have concrete. Yeah, but I think that whatever. But he says here, he says, "I'm talking who trees him they the chim talking b'chamishasar ba'adar." When they would fix the roads on the 15th of Adar, Atu Gishamim Makalkibahu. In other words, the rains would come and make them a big mess, and they had to be meant to fix them again. Mahadri Mitakiluhu Khoshamoid, Aval Kalayim, but in terms of Kilay's Royim, even the Akrulu Lagamri Bakamishasar Ba'adar, once they pull them out on the 15th of Adar, when I pull out, it's not growing again. He says, Lamali the Mefakbo Bakol Shamoid, Bahaki Kamabaya. Why would I go out again for that? So I understand some things are going to have to keep doing, it's constant maintenance. But as far as we know, with the different seeds, it's a one-shot deal. Let's see back in the Gemara. So we're near the small Zion. So Reb Lazar, Reb Yossi, Bar Chanina, Chadamar, Kan Bachir, Kan Ba'apil. So one of those two, Reb Lazar and Reb Yossi, Bar Chanina, says that the Mishnah Masech HaShkalim talks about Adar, so about the early crops, and Kan Ba'apil, and then our Mishnah, so it's later crops. Crops don't all sprout at the same time. So the earlier crops would be there, and later crops, you'll grab them in Chol Moed Pesach. But Chanamar, Kam Bizroim, Kam Biraka. One says that the Mishnah in Shkalim is talking about Zroim, like grains. You have the winter wheat, and the winter wheat begins to sprout, so you have to look, you know, pull that out in Adar. Kam Biraka, we're talking about with vegetables, and the vegetables will be a little bit later. All right, but either way, we have an answer that we need two times to go and pull out the extraneous seeds there. Okay, now Amr Basim Yochanan. Loshanu Nitzan Nikar. So Rabasi says in Yochanan, we said that the first, you know, expedition to inspect the fields is going to be on the 15th of Adar. That's only if it hasn't begun to sprout earlier. It could be even earlier we'd have to go in. About Nitzan Nikar, it's sprouting even earlier. Yotzin Alein, we'll go out even earlier for that. Now, okay. So any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? We're going to see. The Chora from here, it sounds like they do, but we'll see subject to what the Gemara is going to say and some information we're going to say. So in Lahore, it sounds like the second Adar. It sounds like that's, but again, the Gemara says everything depends on the circumstances. Now the Gemara says, so why would we send people on a Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed is like, nobody's working on a Chol HaMoed. You know, you don't want to have people working on a Chol HaMoed. Why are we sending out the inspectors on a Chol HaMoed? In other words, it sounds like from the Mishnah, not that you could send it out, it sounds like the Mitzvah is, Bedafka on Chol HaMoed, to send them out. So Rabbi Yochanan, of course, was in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Mishum Schar Pula Demuzli Gaban, because that the wages are cheaper on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and on the Chol HaMoed Pesach, nobody's working, so therefore salaries are deflated, and so we want to save some money for the Truma Salishka. And if you look at the Rashi, what I'm calling the Rashi, the third white line, the Mishum Scharpula Demozli Gaban, Kolomar Shechos Korpolim Bazol, you can hire workers for like a small amount of money. They're not busy working, so you have a lot of people not working. It's like big supply, low demand. And so everything would be a little cheaper. Now, if you look at the third to last talk, please wait till I pause, okay? And then I'll come to you, okay? When I pause, then ask questions. Otherwise, hold it, okay? So third to last Tosfos, Demozli Gaban, Laman Damar in Tosfos. He says, Laman Damar Lekaman, Skarpula She'inlo Mayuchal, Shari Nicha, Shecholni Tos Scharan. So Tosfos is bothered. How are you allowed to work for money on Chol HaMoed? So again, that's the essence of our Masechta. What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? So Tosfos says, according to one opinion later on, so Poel Shein L'mayuchal, if a worker has nothing to eat, so he's allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. So that would be the case here. Elaman Damar Asur, but according to another opinion later on in the Gemara, even a Poel L'mayuchal is not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. Lo Yadinan Heichan Yisku Poel L'mayuchal. So how would they going to hire the workers? So Tosfos says it could be that where there's a mitzvah involved, so the chachamim were matir it. So here it's mitzvah to prevent people from doing an aveira. That's a mitzvah. So maybe you have a complete heter to hire workers. So it doesn't have to be somebody who doesn't have any, according to the second answer in Tosfos, and they have this in the art school also, that it doesn't have to be somebody who's like dirt poor. It could be a guy who's got money. But since the mitzvah, you can hire him out for money. Let's see back on the Gemara. All right, hold off. Again, I'll pause another eight lines and we'll ask all questions, okay? So Amrav Zvibi Timram Sharshia Shvamina Ki Avinu Sakhar Mitruma Lishki Avinu Lahu. So Rav Zvid says, in some sense, Rav Sharshia, from this Mahalach in the Gemara, one could deduce that the wages for these inspectors is coming from public funds, from Truma Zalishka, from the Masiyot HaShekel that were given by everybody. He says, the because if you would think, I'll charge the people who are in violation, so the people who have fields are in violation, I'll charge them. Maybe that's the other alternative. He says, in other words, why would we care? And it means, why B'davka would we send them out on Pesach? In other words, we're sending them out on Chol HaMoed Pesach. We send them going out on Chol HaMoed Pesach because that's the cheapest time for them. But if the people who are the violators are going to pay for them, so then why do we care when we send them out? Whatever they ask, that's what Chol HaMoed will be taken. Whatever they ask, that's what they should do. All right, now, let me pause for a second. Now, you had a question, Rafi, what's up? Well, so you want to say, the only thing is not exactly. In other words, there is an exception for Hilchot Chol HaMoed, Tzarchei Rabim. Tzarchei Rabim is usually something that serves the whole public, like a mikvah. You know, that's Tzarchei Rabim. They got to fix the mikvah. The roads, that's Tzarchei Rabim. The fact that Ploni has something growing in his field, it's true, it's a concern, but it's not Tzarchei Rabim the way I would define Tzarchei Rabim. Dan, did you want to say something before? Well, according to...
Who we had the question?
Okay, Daniel asked, who wants to work on Chol HaMoed? So I would say that first, according to the first answer in Tosfos, if it's a Polish Mayuchal, a worker who's got no money to eat, so he wants to work on Chol HaMoed. And then the second answer, if it's a mitzvah, so you'll see, this is what we got going. Who wants this money to go inspect it? And that's who shows up. That's... Well, I don't know. It sounds like
a lot of poor people.
I mean, if you have I'm saying if nobody's working, you have 1,000 workers, and this is the only job that's available, so the prices go down. That would be the way it would work. Okay. All right. Any questions from the cyber world? Okay. So I'm going to go on now. Okay. So we're okay. Now the Gemara says two lines from the bottom. Yad kama means what's the minimum amount of alien seeds that has to be in the field? Somebody needs to be muted. So what's the minimum amount of alien seeds in order to obligate it on being uprooted? So that kama, Amar Shuvar Yitzchak Kotash Shaninu, is that which we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Kelayim, Kol Sa'a Sheishba, turn page, Rova Zerim Minacher Yimai. Any Sa'a is a measure, Sa'a. So a Sa'a is comprised of 6 Kav. And so any Sa'a that's got a quarter of a Kav, so it would be 1/24. So 1/24 would mean it's around 4%. So if I have, let's say, a bag of seeds, and in the bag of seeds, I've got 98% wheat and 2% barley, and then I plant those seeds, so then we could let it grow. We're not going to worry about it. But if it's more than like approximately 4%, then I have to be on the case. Now, on the top line in the Gemara, on Bavim Beis, Bahatanya, so the Gemara said, but we learned in the Braisa, so here we were talking about these inspectors that are going to come and uproot like the alien seeds, the alien growth in the field. But in the Braisa we learn that they were metakein, that if they find somebody in violation of the Dinim of Kelayim, so mafkirin kol asad kula, they declare the whole thing hefker, not the field hefker, but the growth in the field hefker, which is quite an incentive for people to police themselves. So, but if that's the case, so how are we talking about that? In other words, you don't require a lot of money to clear the field hefker. Require the money to go search out the seeds and pull them out. He says. So the Gemara says, "Lokasha kan kodem takana kan lachar takana." So there's no contradiction between this brisa and the statement we had before, which was I assume it means the statement from Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, Lokasha, Kan Kodam Takana, Kan Lafar Takana. One is addressing before they had the Takana, and one after the Takana. Tani, we learned the Braisa, Brishona, you Okri, and Mashlif of Nebahemtan. Initially, the inspectors would come, uproot the alien seed, and throw it before the animals of the owner. And it was like Reuben has his field. And he's got wheat and barley growing together. So the uprooting the barley was a wheat. Let's say it's 70% wheat, 30% barley. So they're uprooting the barley and giving it to the animals. Well, you balabatim smechem. The balabatim are happy. Good. Gekusim tehed. Shtei simachot. The 2 simchas. Achachim lashim lehem sotayim. They're weeding my field. Good. But I'm happy with that. I'm feeding my animals and weeding my field. I hope they can come every year. Come again next year. We like you guys. Okay, so that didn't work as a disincentive to grow kelayim. So stage 2, they said, you know what? Why don't you just uproot it and throw it on the street? They're still happy that their fields were getting weeded. Then they said, you know what? When this isn't working. So instead, if you find that the field has shatnis in it, declare the whole field hefker, and then that had the right impact. Now, the only question is, where does this leave us now, though, in terms of going out on Chol HaMoed? So let's look on Amud Aleph. Go back to Baba Amud Aleph, Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, turn back to 6a in Rabbeinu Chananel on the left margin. So if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, yeah, so in my Rabbeinu Chananel, it's near the Tosfos, the Chamishah Sarim Bab Korin HaMegillah, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's near the fourth to last Tosfos. He says, Umash Amru B'chol Shlomoed Yosin HaKalayim Amru B'yochan HaMishim Skar Pa'ula Eid Shapolim B'teilim V'nizkar B'zol Lakvar Zorm LaShlichan U'bainim. Then he says, B'hani Milei the Mishnah Shet Kilo Yod Okrin HaKalayim B'vad is around 6 lines from the bottom of Panano. When they establish that they're going to be mafkirit, they don't go on Chol HaMoed anymore. because now we don't need people to uproot the sprouts. So I guess they don't need to worry about, you know, hiring people for very little bit of money. I assume means that the main cost is to pay people to uproot the seeds in the field, and now they just go, they see it, and they say it's hefker, the type of thing. You know what I mean? So according to Rabbi Nachmanel, but I think they said according to the Rambam, it's not this way. Now let's just see 1 minute. Let me just get a little. We skip something? Where? Right. No, I did the road one. Okay, now. All right, 1 second. Now, all right. Now, this is from the Daf Digest. Okay, the Torah forbids planting kilayim, different species of seed, together in one area. Maintaining kilayim in one's field is also forbidden, whether it was planted deliberately or sprouted spontaneously. The Mishnah Daf Beis says that a Beis Din would dispatch messengers to inspect the fields for kilayim on Chol Moed Pesach when fields began sprouting. If they found kilayim growing in someone's field, they would hire laborers to uproot it. So the first mission is just talking about Chol Moed, but the one about looking for Kilayim only makes sense on Pesach, not in the fall. He says, although this type of labor is generally forbidden on Chol Moed, he means, I guess, the uprooting is the labor that's forbidden. He says, these laborers were permitted to uproot the Kilayim because it was for the sake of preventing the public from transgressing a mitzvah, the Sorek Rabim, the Sorek Mitzvah. So it's like what you were saying. So I take it back. He says, it is the Sorek Rabim. Okay, like you were saying, Rafi. He says, the Sorek Rabim with the Sorek Mitzvah. So he says, now the Gemara in Daf Vav explains that the reason for scheduling these inspections specifically for Chol Moed rather than a day or two before or after Yontiv was the labor is cheap on Chol Moed, since most laborers are idle from work due to the ban on working at Chol Moed. The Gemara explains that Beis Din was determined to find cheap labor because the laborers were paid with public funds from the temple treasury. The Meiri explains that had the salaries been extracted from each of the field owners, we would not have been concerned about providing them with cheap labor since they were violating a sin by maintaining Kilayim. In other words, good, you pay more money, we're happy with that. Now, the Gemara in Daf Vav Beis says initially Beis Din would hire laborers to remove the kilayim from the fields, but as a result, people would deliberately leave kilayim in their fields in anticipation of having it removed for free by the Beis Din's laborers. To prevent this practice, there was a decree that any field which was found to contain kilayim was declared hefker owners by the Beis Din. And it's just the crops that are kilayim hefker, not the field itself. The Tosfos Yontif questions why the Rambam, when listing the various expenditures that were paid from the temple funds, the Trumas Halishka, fails to mention that the laborers hired by the Beis Din were paid with public funds from the Trumas Halishka. So why doesn't the Rambam mention this as an expense? So the Eliyahu Rabbah answers that after the decree to clear the fields hefker was instituted, it was no longer necessary to hire laborers to uproot the kilayim. The threat of having their fields confiscated was sufficient to motivate the owners to remove the kilayim. In other words, that was it. He says, even if one failed to remove the kilayim initially, he would quickly remove it after it was declared hefker, because this would enable him to reacquire his field. So it was very effective. The produce, right, that's true. Okay, although here he says require his field, where the article said it was just the produce. Okay, now, the Sfas Emes notes that the Rambam writes that even after this latter decree went into effect, the court messengers were dispatched on Chol Moed to inspect the fields. So we saw in Rabbeinu Chananel that he learns that not necessarily on Chol Moed they're going, but according to Rambam, even after the final Takana, they're going out on Chol Moed Pesach. Sfas Emes asks that since Beis Din no longer hires laborers upon finding Kilayim, it should no longer be necessary to schedule the inspection specifically for Chol Moed. There's no need for cheap labor. Again, labor seems like we're pulling out the crops. That seems to be the thing. In answer, the Karen Or is going to explain why the Rambam says they're still going out on Chol Moed Pesach. In answer, the Karen Or explains it was convenient for the messengers to make the rounds specifically on Chol Moed because they had a lot of free time then, since it's forbidden to work on Chol Moed. Justification of cheap labor was necessarily only when Beis Din hired workers, laborers up with the kilayim. Since the rooting plants generally forbidden on Chol Moed, the Gemara explained that it was only because of the availability of cheap labor that they scheduled this work on Chol Moed. However, today, when the court messengers merely declare the words that the field's hefker and the job does not involve forbidden labor, the reason of convenience alone is sufficient justification to dispatch on Chol Moed. In other words, he wants to say that it's convenient time, nobody's working, so now's an easy time to send people out on Chol Moed and doesn't involve the malacha of uprooting plants and things like that. So everybody's happy with Chol Moed. That's the way he's going. What's up? That's true. What? Is he what?
That's the question.
All right. So Rafi was asking, can you benefit from Kilei Zrayim? The way I remember is that you can't benefit from Kilei Zrayim. Yeah, so I have to look into. So I the way I remember is if it grows in with kilayim, the way I remember it is asurbana. Yeah, so here with the animals, it sounds the only thing I could think of is in other words the owner wasn't doing it. They were doing it just like you know. Yeah, so that I'm not sure about. I mean, I'm certain that you're not allowed to get hana from it because pentitash hamleya it has to be burned. But I don't know how you could. Let me see if the Zarkle says anything about that. Let's take a look. One second. Four. Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, he says here. Oh, he says it is permitted to derive benefit from kilayim except where the illegal mixture includes grapevines. Okay, that's what he says. He says unless there's grape involved, you can benefit from it. Yeah. It's well, kilayim is you know there's kilayim rayim, there's kilayim begadim, there's kilayim behema. No, well. Shanis are usually referred to with fabric, like as shua, nuz, and things like that. But it's uveged kilayim shanis. The uveged kilayim is for shan. I think shanis is just by the garments, you know. But they're all kilayim. Oh. Wait. So do what? What's the expense? For what? Yeah, I don't know. It's how.
You don't have to pay back the money of the.
Wait. Now they're just declaring hefker, so they're just going and looking, you know. So they're sort of, yeah. So I don't know what's the expense. With in other words, it sounded like that the key was like for this labor to uproot the plants, but with the going out doesn't sound like you play. Yeah. All right. So you think that. There's still a residual fee to go inspect the fields, you want to say, and the owner should pay for that. I don't know. All right, now. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. All right, let's go. We're on public day. What? Who won't do what? All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're up to the next mission. Everybody with me? Okay. So Manitin, Rabbi Ben Yaakov Meir Moshchin Hamayim Ilan Leilan, he says that let's say there's a pool of water. In other words, you have a field. In the field there are trees, but there are also crops growing. Now, the field is stay habal. It means it subsists on rainwater alone. But the trees they need to be irrigation. This is the way I'm learning this Mishnah. There's different ways of learning it. So Moshchin Hamayim Ilan Leilan. I could draw water, and it was water. Somebody has unmuted themselves, and so I'm going to mute you again. Okay. So the water that's pooled under one tree could be sort of like diverted to go to another tree. But to give water to the whole field, that I should not do. In other words, the Tana here is learning. We said Melechet Avar Ha'aved, which is what we're talking about. In other words, if I suffer a loss, I will suffer a loss, I could do the work on Chol HaMoed. So, but suffering a loss means I'm losing the Karen, I'm losing the principal, not that I'm losing Revach, in the anticipated income. So the field, the crops will grow better, but they're going to grow okay with the rain. So I can't water the field. But the trees, unless they get watered, I'm going to lose them. So then I can water them. That's according to the Tana Kama. Then he says, if you have seeds that were not watered before Chol HaMoed, lo yashkein b'moed. He can't water them on Chol HaMoed. Again, there's no big loss involved. But Chachamim Matirin B'Zebzeh. In other words, the whole heter we had in the first Mishnah was Mashkin Beit HaShlachin, where the seeds have begun to germinate before Chol HaMoed. So then I could, and it was an irrigated field, I could water them. But if they haven't begun to germinate, because if I don't continue to water them, I'm going to lose the seeds. That's my demlechet amar aved. But if the seeds were not watered before, I can't water them on Chol HaMoed. But chachamim matir and bezebezeh. Chachamim matir in both instances. In other words, the chachamim hold melechet amar aved can be the revach. But Reb Lezer ben Yaakov holds that it has to be the keren. And we hold like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So we say melechet amar aved, it has to be I'm going to suffer a loss of my principal. In other words, like to put it in today's, just a minute. Like, let's say I have I have a warehouse filled with tomatoes, and if I don't go and sell the tomatoes on Chol HaMoed, the tomatoes are going to go rotten. So that would be a loss of my keren. And then there are other instances, like it was just where it's just revach. I'm not going to make more money, but that's not Melechat HaBar Avid. Okay, what's up, Fern?
The two cases we're talking about are Pesach and Sukkot, right?
Correct.
And those are in two different types of seasons, correct?
That's true. That's true.
So does the Gemara at any point, I guess I'm asking for any surprises later in the Masechta, set up two different standards, one for the one in the more in the rainier season and one in the drier season?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. You mean stay habal where it subsists on rainwater like that, and then things need. I mean, it's either it needs to be irrigated or it can subsist on rainwater. Those are the two alternatives. Whether it's
and davar ha'aved and that.
No, the principles are the same.
The principles are the same.
Okay, let's see further in the Gemara, and we'll keep it moving. What's up? And it was Chachamim in the first case, they permit you to water the whole field. And in the second case, they permit you to even water the field where the grains had not been watered before a Chol HaMoed. Right. In other words, but by watering it, there'll be more income. So it's a loss of revach that I'm not doing it. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Now the second case. According to the Chachamim, that's the way it's coming out. But one thing I just want to see is the Bava Mevei, right? Mm-hmm. A rainwater field, right? Okay, let's take a look for the Gemara. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my tasta mitunene mutar." So Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was a damp field, then you're allowed to water it. So he says, in other words, it's a naturally damp field. In other words, let's say there's like water, maybe like an underground source for water, and now it's dried up. So even though it's normally Beit HaBa'al, which is like a rainwater field, since now it's up till now it's been moist, and now if it's dried up, if I don't water it, so I'm going to suffer. That's melechat HaBar HaAved. So in other words, in the first case, he says I can't water the field because it depends on rainwater. But if this was a naturally damp field, in other words, maybe it had a source, like an underground source of water, and now for some reason it's dried up, so then I could water it because I'm going to suffer loss of the crops. So Tani Nami Haki, the learned Bryce supports this. Shamru Asr Lash Katan B'Moed, we said you're not allowed to water the field on Chol HaMoed. Lo Amru L'Bizram Shoshat L'Tnei HaMoed. We only said concerning seeds that had not been watered before Chol HaMoed. In other words, if I don't water it, no harm, no foul. He says, Aval Zram Shoshat L'Tnei HaMoed, but seeds that have been watered before Chol HaMoed, before Yantiv, Mutar Lash Katan B'Moed. I could water them HaMoed once they begin to germinate. So if they're not watered, I'm going to be in trouble. And if it was a damp field, mutar, then you're allowed to do it. And then dried up, it means that then I'm allowed to do it. Now here, the ain mashkin the garib b'moed. I can't water a dry field on Chol HaMoed. Now the dry field means a field that's normally dry. In other words, it's always dry, and so I'm not allowed to do a Chol HaMoed. But Chachamim Atirin Bezeh Bezeh, Chachamim are permit in each case. In other words, the dry field, I don't know, it just stays that way, and the crops grow with the dry field, but that's the way the dry field goes. But the Chachamim permit in both instances to water the field, because again, the main idea is that the Tanakhama, as our Tanakhama holds, there has to be a loss of a keren in order to do the malacha. And the Chachamim hold, even if it's just a loss of revach, a loss of anticipated income, then that's also something that provides me with the ability to work on Chol HaMoed. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Shvamina, one can deduce from this, Hai Tarbitza. Tarbitza is a garden. Shari the Tarbutze b'chol d'moada. You're allowed to sprinkle lightly the garden on Chol HaMoed. Why? Stigarid maitama the afla mashke lecharpa. So why am I allowed to water, according to the Chachamim, the stay garib, which is the dry field. So things would grow in the dry field, but the nevertheless the chachamim permit me to water it on cholamoed because the afla mashri leharfa, something that would sprout later and now will sprout earlier. In other words, it enhances the plants. Hachanami, so too with my garden, if I lightly sprinkle it on cholamoed, afla mashri leharfa, like I'll improve it. In other words, that which would sprout later will sprout earlier. So according to the chachamim, which we don't hold this way, l'halacha, I'd be allowed to water it on cholamoed. Correct. Now, Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa. Now here, there's two versions of this Braisa. The Gra has a different version, which seems even easier. So the Gra's version, you look at the Gra downstairs, he says, Ein mar beats and stay lavan b'shvi'it below b'moed. According to the Gra, you're not allowed to sprinkle. Stay lavan is a white field, it means a grain field, on cholamo, on Shemitah year, on the cholamoi. That's the way the Gra has it. But our version is that you're allowed to sprinkle the grain field on the Shemitah year, but not on cholamoi. In other words, I can't work the ground, but I could sprinkle with water. Now it means there's a gzeri derabanan against watering the fields, but sprinkling is like to do a light covering of water that I could do on Shemitah year, the way we have our version. But the key is the cholamoi, not on cholamoi. He says, Mahatanya marbitzin bo bein b'moed bein b'shvi'it. But in the Braisa we learn, I'm allowed to speak on Kol HaMoed or Shemitah. So the key point of dispute, the way our version is, that one Braisa says I can't sprinkle the field on Kol HaMoed, and one says I could sprinkle the field on Kol HaMoed. So Amar Rav Huna says, no kashas, no contradiction between the two Braisas. Ha Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, the one that says that I can't sprinkle the field is like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. He holds, unless it's Lecha Dabar Aved, I can't do it. Rabbanan, the chamim hold, no. Even if it's just that it will enhance the crop, I'm allowed to do it. All right. What? Say again, what? Sure. Okay. As long as you're speaking my sprach. In Great Neck, even the smart and red and yet's Yiddish. This is their sprach. Okay, now. Okay, now. Okay, sounds good. Okay, now. Okay, now. Okay, Tanya Yidach. So we learn in another Braisa. Marbitzin stei lavan erev shviit. I'm allowed to sprinkle the stei lavan, is the grain field, before the Shemitah year. They should see rakot b'shviit, so that vegetables will come out during the Shemitah year. Below od elish marbitzin stei lavan b'shviit. I could also sprinkle the stei lavan during the Shemitah year. They should see rakot l'motzei shviit, so the vegetables will come out after the Shemitah year. Is what he's saying here. This sounds like everybody. This is a different halacha. This is a Shemitah din. Our Moed cotton were mostly focused on Kol HaMoed, but this Shemitah comes in because it came up in the first Mishnah. So this is, but it's, you know, this year's a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. But that's what the way he's saying. Although the he says, if you look at the last Rashi, what we're calling Rashi, this was on the to sprinkling it on before the Shemitah year. About lo yashke b'shviit. Yashke is to give a lot of water in the Shemitah year. I'm not allowed to, you know, water the fields in the Shemitah year, but we learned before a little sprinkling is permissible. But all right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're up to a new. Any questions on what we did so far?
Yeah, what we did talk about Shviit. Why necessarily is there some theoretical, or is it just practical, that we talk about Shemitah and Chol HaMoed in the same breath?
Yeah.
So, did I miss it? Why we learn one from the other a little bit?
Yeah, well, it was the first line in the Mishnah, which was Mashkin b'Shlachim b'Moed or Shviit, that you're allowed to water the irrigated field in the Chol HaMoed or Shemitah year. So I don't know what more to say about this.
In other words, what caused them to tie them together?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so the field.
It was something I was wondering throughout the whole.
Was there something in the Gemara about that or not?
I don't remember.
All right. So I'm going to have to pose that question. I don't know the answer to that question. All right. But it certainly seems that the halachot are connected. One second. Why they put together in the Mishnah? What connects the two of them? One second. But she's saying like, why should the two be connected to one another? In other words, is there something that brings them both together? One second. Okay. All right. I'm gonna let me see. This. All right, I'm going to have to defer that question. All right, let's see the next Mishnah, okay? All right, now, okay, let's all focus. Okay, now we're up to Tzeda. Tzeda is a malacha on Shabbos, capturing animals. So, the manitin, Tzadin ha'ishot. So, ishot, we don't know what it is, but the Gemara is going to explain. It means like a mole. He says, v'yad ha'achbarim, the mice. In other words, here, we're going to do a malacha of Tzeda, but it's malacha tabar ha'aved, because they're going to come destroy the whole field unless we capture the barmits, whatever. Anyway, so he says, Sadina Yishab bin Akbarim, Misteha Ilan, from the orchard, Umisteha Lavan, Kidarka Bamawai to Vishviyat. And from Misteha Lavan is the grain field, in the normal fashion, even though it involves, at least with the Yishab, involves like digging a hole, which would be like Chafira on Cholomawai. And on Shemitah, you can do it as well, even though normally you're not allowed to work the field. But you're not working the field, but you're digging a hole in it, but you're allowed to do it. And he says, and Rashi here says, Avagav the Metakin Asada, even though you're in other words, as a result of getting rid of these, pesty creatures, you're improving the land in a sense. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Mistaya Ilan Kedarko. Mistaya Ilan, there they're going to do a lot of damage. Then you're allowed to capture them in the normal fashion. Mistaya Lavan, Shlo Kedarko. Mistaya Lavan, they don't do as much damage in the Stay Lavan. So you have to be Mishana. You have to make a Shinui in the way you do Tzeda there. When the current appears to the Moed, you're allowed to repair breaches in the wall on Chol Moed. It means a wall around a field. This is Ubashvid Bonek Kedarko. In the Shemitah year, I could build in the normal fashion. In other words, even though it looks a little bit like I'm keeping people out, but I'm just building so people won't, use it as a shortcut. The field still has to remain open to the public. Okay, so the Gemara says, my Ishut. What are Ishut? So he says, Amar Rav Yehuda Beri Yashen Lainayim, a creature that doesn't have eyes. This is your field a little bit, Daniel. So they say it's a mole. So they said in the article, the mole has got very small eyes and he has a layer of skin over it. But they had a whole piece from the Mole Road. They said that there was this fellow, one second, let me get his name. What? He says there was a rabbi. He says Yehosef Schwartz. So I don't know where he lives. Oh, he's the author of Tuat Haaretz. So he was on the defensive. So Tzferes Yisrael just means it's got small eyes, is what Tzferes Yisrael says. Doesn't mean it doesn't have any eyes. But this rabbi Yehosef Schwartz. He heard that among the Chokrim, different scientists were Mizalzel and Chazal, not necessarily scientists, scholars were denigrating Chazal, but they didn't know the nature, that the animals have the eyes, the whole thing. So he looked and he said that all the Chafarfarot, I think he means the moles, they have small eyes that are covered with hair, so almost not visible. But he was in distress of this. And then it says that after a while, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and he found a similar species in Eretz Yisrael that's called the Choled today. I don't know what Choled is. But what's a Choled? Anyway, he says, and that really doesn't have eyes. So he revealed it to the people, to the Chokrei Zoologia, the zoologists, and now it's Muskam, the Kilat Chokrim that they know. So he says that the Chazal had Kavanah for that creature. Anyway, but let's see back on the Gemara. I got to run because we're running out of time. So my Yishut, so I'm going to be very ashamed. Let me know. Mamar Rav Bar Yishmael, B'Yitema Rav Gamer Bar Shlami, Amikra. What's the Pasuk that could help corroborate that the Yishut doesn't have eyes? He says, so he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Kmo Shavlul, Temes Yahaloch, like the snail will melt away and go. It means if the snail leaves its shell, I don't know, it's got all this mucus that comes out and then it will they just drop dead. He says, Eshet Baal Chazu Shamesh. So the Eshet is this creature that we're talking about, the Ishut. It'll won't see the sun. It's talking about people who are Rishayim, they should this is what should happen to them. So it means that if the mole sees the sun, he's gonna disturb the barn. He's gonna die, whatever, he can't handle it. But the point is that you see that Eshet or Eshet or Ishud is this creature that either, you know, can't see, whatever. So Tan Rabbanan, Tadini Ishud ben Akbar Mistei Laban, Mistei Ilan Kedarko. The Braisa says, the Braisa is like the Tanakam of our Mishnah. It says you're allowed to capture the moles and the Akbarim, the mice, from Mistei Laban, which is the grain field, and Mistei Ilan, the orchard, Kedarko, in the normal fashion. Umachriven Hormein the Malim, and this is on Holomoid, and you're allowed to destroy anthills, ant holes on Holomoid. So Kesan Machriven, how do you destroy the ant holes? So Rabbi Shmuel may be afar mechurzeb, rotin to churzeb. You bring some dirt from one ant hole, you stick it in the other ant hole, and chokim zetze, and they end up like choking each other. So either it means that the dirt you're bringing has other ants, and the other ants will finish with these ants and kill each other off, or that the ants in ant hole A, when they see this alien dirt, they go meshuga and they attack one another. Okay, so Amar Rav Yemar Bar Shlomi Mishmei Dabaye. So Rav Shlomi, Rav Yemar Bar Shlomi is saying, Babaye, who did Kai betray Yivrei Nahara? This is only going to work if the two ant holes are in different times of the river. And it was like a foreign ant hole coming from the other side of the river. Would like a Gishra, provided there's no bridge between the two sides of the river. Would like a Gamala, there's no plank between the two rivers. Would like a Misra, there's no rope across the two rivers. But the top line is Ayman Aleph. Ad Kama, how far away do these ant holes have to be? Now, is the Machloka, whether it's talking about with the river or without the river, Ad Parsa, has to be at least a Parsa in distance. Let's look at the top Tosfos. Ad Kama, Ad Parsa. The Ein Makirin Zezeh, Yotermi Parsa. In other words, one ant doesn't know from the other ant if it's more than a Parsa away. A Parsa is 4 mil. He says, Afilu below Nahar, even if there is no river. So he's saying if there's no river, according to the first Pshad, if it's a Parsa away, that also counts as an alien ant hole. Inami Haki Perusho. Tesh Nahar, that there is a river, Matakri and Matirin, how close they have to be that they makir one another ad parsa. Abu Yotirim, Mikri A Makirin, Badafka Dika Nahar. In other words, so according to this, you'd have need a river and a parsa between them in order for this to be effective. That's the core of what we're saying. Okay, now let me just see if I have a little bit from here. And then
is the
be
theory
it.
Behind this that this is going to cause a loss? Or is it that it's a pest on your Simchas Yontif?
No. It's a loss. It's a loss. In other words, these creatures are going to, that's Malacha Dabar Abed. It's going to destroy the whole path. That's what it's involved.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Now, all right. What?
It's called a spallet. It's a blind, fossorial, or subterranean mole rat.
What is it called? I can't hear you too clearly, Malka. All right, you're breaking up. All right, anyway, what do you want to say quickly? Daniel has a question. That's on Shabbos, so what? Well, on which halakha are you talking about? In other words, yeah, but I don't. It seems like a psik ratio is like on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. We're talking about Chol HaMoed. I mean, psik ratio is when you're going to do a malacha, right? That on the fridge. So how is this related to us? I'm gonna. When psik ratio, I do want to act, and even though the block, I don't intend to this act to be done, but it's what is going to be done. Here, I intend the act. I'm doing say that. I want to capture the animal. Okay, let me just do a few lines, and that'll be it. All right. We'll do a story. Okay, our Gemara tells us when there was a Talmid Chacham in the city. Oh, this was yesterday's daf. He attends to all the various spiritual needs of the community. Let's see. One second. All right, I'm going to leave the story. So Yosef wants me to read the story. Okay, in yesterday's daf, we said that the Talmid Chacham knows what's going on in the town. In other words, the young Talmid Chacham, right, that in other words, he'll be able to tell you whether there was a kever here or whatever's going on with it. Okay. So our Gemara tells us when there's a Talmid Chacham in the city, he attends to all the various spiritual needs of the community. Rav Shach Zatzal was a very beloved gadol and was available for anyone who wished to consult with him on any matter. He would always go above and beyond what any other person would consider his duty to the kahal. Not surprisingly, he received hundreds of visitors every Chol HaMoed. Many were former students who felt they owed all their Torah to Rav Shach. Others simply wanted to see the gadol or ask his advice. One Chol HaMoed, rabbi of a certain city in Israel, came to visit. How are things going in your Shteller? Shteller is the pulpit. Okay. How are things going in your Shteller? Asked the Rav Shach. Not so good, was the dismal response. What's the problem? The mikvah is broken. Local branch of the Misrata of the Toad is not bothering to fix it, answered the visitor. So he says, maybe you should build a private mikvah, Rav Shach suggested. As he said this, Rav Shach placed a huge sum of money on the table. It would have been more than adequate to cover the cost of such a project. Use a bag of money here, that's it. So he says, I'm not the kind of person who can oversee a big project like that, demurred the visitor. Rav Shach had no response to this. So he says, the Rav wished Rav Shach well and took his leave. The next day, the head of the religious council in the area started getting calls from well-known Naskanim inquiring why the mikvah had not been fixed. At first, this puzzled the official. Although the mikvah had been out of repair for a while, he had not yet heard one complaint from someone out of this in his area. One of the Naskanim blurted out, I'm calling because Rav Shach charged me with getting it repaired as a personal favor to him. And if you think I'm going to take no for an answer, you're completely wrong. The very day the funds to fix the mikvah were found and repairs began immediately. You know, it was Rav Shach. The Talmud Chacham didn't want to take care of it. So Rav Shach saw to it that the mikvah got fixed. Okay, let me end the recording on the other thing. Let me do this.